Well, I'm going to share an illustration with you. First of all, I want to share, this is a message I shared at a men's breakfast back a number of months ago, but wanted to share this with the whole congregation at some point, and this ties in very well with the theme that we're doing in the series, both on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights, The Life You've Always Wanted. And so I begin this morning with this illustration. It's not mine. Max Lucado had this in one of his books. I can't remember which book it was, but he talks about Chippy the Parakeet, and I'm wondering if you can relate to who Chippy the Parakeet is. Chippy the Parakeet never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage, and the next second, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. Then the phone rang, and as she turned to pick it up, she barely said hello when Chippy got sucked into the vacuum cleaner. The bird owner gasped. She put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realized that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what really hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter, who initially had written about the event, contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." Can you relate to Chippy? Sometimes life can be like that, that you get sucked up and washed up and blown over, and you just sit and stare sometimes, not doing what you normally thought you would be doing or had hoped that you would be doing with your life at this point. Well, our current sermon series is based on the book by John Ortenberg, The Life You've Always Wanted. And we're not only doing it here on Sunday mornings, but we're doing it also on Wednesday nights. By the way, we had a great turnout on Wednesday between our morning and our evening sessions. We had 28 people, which I think is the largest attendance we've had since I've been here anyways. And I'm not sure how far back we'd have to go to find that kind of attendance for adults on a Wednesday, but that was really great. I was encouraged by that. And if it's not too late, if you haven't come and you want to come, you can still join us. Don't feel like that because you missed the first week that you're missing anything. But this is a series that we're doing on spiritual disciplines. And today we're going to talk about a discipline, but the idea of spiritual disciplines are things that we do in our life that help to form us spiritually, to help us to grow, to become all that God wants us to be. This week, if you are following along in the book, many of you have actually bought the book. We're in chapters 4 and 5, and the title of the chapters that we're covering are the Dida Day, the practice of celebration, and then the chapter 5 is an unhurried life, the practice of slowing. You know, those two things are important in every person's life, to have a sense of celebration of life, but also to have those moments and those times in life where there is a slowing down. There is a serenity to life to be able to reflect. I couldn't think of a better passage of Scripture than what Johnny just read for us to look at this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, I know that that's not the usual passage that we read from when we're looking at the Ten Commandments. We usually read the Exodus passage, but I wanted to read the Deuteronomy passage for specific reasons. And it is a commandment in the Big Ten here, the Big Ten Commandments, to have a Sabbath rest in life. But I also realize that most of us think that that's an antedated commandment that God has given to us, that it doesn't really apply to us now in 2014, but and I suppose that some of the reason we think of that is because it is an imposed day of rest, that you have to rest one out of every 7 days, and we also think that it's restrictive, that there's a lot of things that you can't do if you're going to practice the Sabbath, and we think of it in those limiting senses. But I want to show you this morning the law of God, and particularly the Sabbath law, has an application to our lives that is much more than restrictions. As a matter of fact, I would say that it's the emphasis should not be on what the law of the Sabbath takes away from us, but what it gives to us, the blessings that it can bring to us, and as well, the proper balance that God wants us to see for life from this Sabbath law is something that's really important for us. So we're going to look at some key concepts. Now, I want to identify a big qualifier for us here when it comes to the Sabbath law, is that I know that most of us, when we're thinking of this, that we're thinking, well, we're in the age of grace, and we're no longer confined by those those religious laws that they had in the Old Testament. And you're exactly right about that. This is the age of grace, and we are not bound by those laws. And let me just prove that to you, that we are not bound by the rigidity of those laws, because this is the Sabbath rest that we're talking about here. Do you know what day of the week the Sabbath is? Saturday. It's Saturday. It's not Sunday. We're Lord's Day people. We're not Sabbath people in terms of, there are some versions of Christianity that worship on Saturday, and that's their business to do that, but we're Lord's Day people, and the reason why we worship on Sunday is because this is the first day of the week. Now, I know that you think it's the weekend, and the week doesn't really start until Monday, but that's wrong. That's why, you know, when you look on a calendar, by the way, the March calendars are out now, but you look on a calendar, and the first day of the week is Sunday. And that's for a reason. And if society ever tries to change it so that Monday becomes the first day of the week, you stand up on your soapbox and try to stop that, because there goes one other thing that erodes from the influence of Christianity in society. And the reason why we worship on the first day of the week is because, one, it was the day of the week when Jesus rose from the grave. It's resurrection. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, not just Easter. Every Sunday is a new beginning for you. It's a new start to life. But also, it was the day that the early church chose to meet, and so we've just continued on with that tradition now for almost 2,000 years. But what I want you to see is, even though we're in the age of grace, there's a principle here of the Sabbath, and that's what we find a lot of times when we study the Old Testament, that there are principles that God put laws around that still apply to us today, and there is a principle of the Sabbath that applies to us today. So let's look at this. Some concepts, some key concepts about the Sabbath. First of all, I would say this, that the Sabbath is given so that relationships can be celebrated in your life. Relationships can be celebrated in your life. Look in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 5. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you." So why is it that we would keep the Sabbath day? Well, we would keep it holy. We would keep it set apart, because God has commanded us to do that. So I would say, first of all, the primary relationship is that is to be celebrated on the Sabbath is your relationship with God. It is a holy day. It's a day that is to be set apart. And what that word holy means, it doesn't mean that you sit and in a pious way and you act holy or envision yourself with wings, that you're an angel or anything like that, or that you have a halo. That's not what holy means. Holy means that it's a day that's set apart, that it's different from the six other days of the week. And whatever day it is, I mean, preferably it would be Sunday for you, but if your life doesn't allow you to do that, you need to find another day in your life that is holy, that is set apart, so that you can focus on God. Because the other 6 days of the week, let's be honest, we're busy with taking care of family members, we're busy with our jobs, we're busy with taking care of our house, we're busy with taking care of our own selves, and there a lot of times God can get pushed to the fringe. And so Sunday is the day, or at least one day of the week, needs to be the day when we set it aside so that we can focus on who God is. Now, traditionally, it has been Sunday, and I do think, personally, I do have a conviction that I think it is the best day of the week to do that, because, and we have tried to, for almost 2,000 years within the church, we've tried to organize things that help people to make it a different day, that we don't work typically on Sundays if we don't have to. We also come together for things like Bible study and worship services. It's a time to be fed into our lives of spiritual things and to think about who God is. That's what Sunday is about. But also, it is a time to enhance your relationships with other people. Relationships with other people need to be celebrated. Notice what verse 14 says here in Deuteronomy 5. It says, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work." Now notice this, you don't do any work, but it says, "Neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant or your maidservant nor your ox nor your donkey, or any of the animals, nor the alien," that's not somebody from outer space, that's just somebody from another country, "the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do." It was to be a day of rest for all of the people that you were in contact with, and if you were a landowner, people that you had working for you. And the reason why he says the alien was the part of the Old Testament deal was that they didn't have hotels back in those days, and so if somebody was traveling through a country and they landed up on your property just about the time the sun was supposed to be going down, you were supposed to show hospitality to them and take that foreigner into your home and treat them nicely. Gee, it would be nice to start doing that again, wouldn't it? But anyways, that's why it says alien. And so, but if the alien were to be in your house on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath rest, you were to give them that day off as well and treat them as what you would the rest of the people. And it is a time when relationships should be strengthened in our lives, that you would spend time with your family. As upset as I am that society has changed so much that Sunday is becoming more and more like any other day of the week, and part of my angst with that is that it prohibits people from getting to church on Sunday. That's a big part of it for me. But equally with that, one of the big hang-ups that I have about the fact that our society has moved away from a common day off is that people don't have time to be together with their families anymore. Now, I have to admit, it's been refreshing moving here to the Eastern Shore, because I think that that has not been something that has overtaken society here. But I've lived in other places. When we lived in New Hampshire and when we lived over in the other side of the state, over in Lynchburg, it was much different. Much different. So the whole of society was so that a family unit very rarely had a common day where they could do something together. And that's what you want to do. You want to have a Sabbath rest so that it is a time for relationship building. Jesus met a lot of controversy in the New Testament about this whole thing of the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus was asked a question: is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath, to save or to kill? He had just healed somebody on the Sabbath, and he was being criticized for that. You know what Jesus' response to them was on that? He says that it was God's intention for the Sabbath to be something that brought blessing to people, not restrictions. And so if a person is blind in their eyes, what was it that person needed to have? They needed to have healing. And so if it was on the Sabbath, even though that might have been considered to be an act of work by some people, Jesus did it because it brought blessing into people's lives. And Jesus is sending us that message to us today, that he wants the Sabbath to be something that is a blessing in your life. And if you're going to be a person who is going to be growing spiritually, who is going to strive to do spiritual disciplines in your life, here's a newsflash for you. You need to have a Sabbath rest in your life. You need to organize your life in such a way that you are carving out and making time for God and for other people in your life, that you can enhance those relationships. The Sabbath is also intended to establish a healthy rhythm to life. Not only is it to celebrate relationships, but it's also to bring a healthy rhythm to life. Notice in this passage that there is a rhythm here. You might not think of it as a rhythm, but there is a rhythm to life. 6 days shall you work, and one day shall you rest. There is a rhythm. Now, I know that work is sometimes considered by people to be a dirty word. It's interesting, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, reasons why we don't like work and all those kinds of things. Work sometimes can be considered by people a dirty word, but here's what we learned in Sunday school this morning, a little advertisement for Sunday school. If you haven't been in a while, you learn these kinds of things in Sunday school. But work is not something that God brought in after mankind fell in Genesis 3, after the curse came. It's not a curse. God gave us work to do before mankind ever sinned. It is part of how God has made you, and you are created in God's image. And when you are working and doing it in a productive, fulfilling way, that it's a blessing to other people, you are being like God when you work. God wants you to work. For those of you who are no longer full-time employed, that you've experienced this thing, retirement, that is such a big part of our society, I have a newsflash for you. There is no such thing as retirement in the Bible. Now, you can stop your job that you get paid for, and if you've got a pension and you can live off of that, great. But if you've got an able body and a keen mind, God still wants you to be productive in this society. And if you haven't figured out what that is, come talk to me after church. I'll find something for you to do in our church that gives you meaning and purpose. I'm not going to pay you anything to do it. Your reward will be out of this world. You'll get it when you're in heaven. But come see me after church. I'll find something productive for you to do with your life that gives you meaning and purpose. Because God wants you to do something with meaning and purpose all the days of your life. That's how God made us. Retirement's not in the Bible. My dad's 81 years old, and although he doesn't have a church, he still likes to preach, but nobody's told him yet that he shouldn't keep preparing messages. So my father, I know tomorrow morning, I'm going to call him tomorrow morning my dad's going to be in his office, and you know what he's going to be doing? He's going to be preparing a message that he probably will never preach, but it's the work that he's done all his life, and he's going to continue doing that probably until the day he dies. I admire my father for that. I think it's great that he does that. God wants us to have this rhythm. It is work 6 days, but in order to stay healthy, to be able to work those 6 days, week in and week out, you have to understand what the rhythm to that is, and it's this. You have to have 1 day of rest. If you work 7 days a week, you're going to get out of balance, you're going to get worn out, you're going to get burned out. And so balance is an important part of that healthy rhythm that God wants us to have. I want you to think about life that you live within 7 days. Think about, just take a moment and think about what you've done over the last 7 days. What you've worked at, what you've done for recreation, things that you've eaten, things that you've done for hobbies, people that you've had meaningful conversations with, maybe books that you've read, exercise that you've done or haven't done, whatever the case may be. And here's another newsflash for you. That is who you are. What you do, how you live your life within 7 days defines who you are. So if you say that I'm a person who is a runner and you haven't run within the last 7 days, you're not really a runner. If you're a person who says, I like to read books, and you haven't even picked up a book and read even a chapter of a book within the last 7 days, you're really not a reader. If you're a person who says, well, I'm really close friends with so-and-so, but you haven't had a meaningful conversation with so-and-so in the last 7 days, are you really close friends with them? What you do in 7 days defines who you are. Burnout comes in life, though, when every day looks the same. And so we need to find a balance in our life so that we are. And you know what will cause every day to look the same is by falling into the trap of the tyranny of the urgent. Not being able to distinguish between those things that are important and those things that are urgent. Now, sometimes things get into the category of being important and urgent, and those become the number one thing that you have to address in your life right then. Those are what we call emergencies. But in the normal course of life, there are things that happen that are important, and then there are going to be things that are going to be urgent. Or they're going to seem like they're urgent. If you always let urgent overtake the things that are important in your life, you're never going to have balance in your life. You have to be able to say, these are things that are important to me. And when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, you have to be able to say that it is important for me to spend time with God every day. It's important for me to be to Bible study. It's important for me to serve God in a meaningful way. It's important for me to work on my attitude adjustment. It's important for me to spend time with other people. Whatever the case may be, you have to say it's important to me. And whatever the urgent things are that come knocking on your door and saying, give attention to me, and they're screaming at you, you have to say, but you're not important to me. What's important has to stay important. So rhythm to life, and you can get out of that rhythm so very easily. So what's that rhythm look like? Well, I think that there needs to be work followed by appropriate rest. That's a rhythm. I think also that there needs to be time alone and then time spent with other people. If you only spend time alone, you're going to get out of balance. If you only spend time with other people, you're going to get out of balance. We need to have mental exercise as well as physical exercise. For me, my job does not require me to do very much physically. The most challenging physical thing that I do in the course of a day is I take a book off of my shelf or I open up the laptop computer on my desk. That's about the extent of my physical activity as far as my job requirements are concerned. And so guess what I like to do on my days off? I really like to do something physical. I like to go for a run. I like to do chores around the yard. I like to do anything that requires me to exert myself physically. I need to do that. We need to have time of exuberant fun, and then we need to have time when we're serious. There needs to be balance in all of those things. You know, we see these principles not only in the Word of God, but we see them in many places in life. Farmers know this. They rotate their crops, don't they? If you plant the same thing year after year after year, you're going to deteriorate that which is in your land. Mechanics know that. When you put a new set of tires on your car, what's the first thing that a good mechanic will do is they'll balance those tires, because if the tires are put on your car out of balance, then they're going to wear out really, really fast. And that's what will happen to you if you're out of balance. You'll wear out really fast. Athletes know this as well. And anybody who's an athlete knows that you put forth exertion in your body, but then you also need to have time for rest and recovering in that body if you're going to continue doing what you're doing. Sabbath rest is really, really important for us, maintaining a proper balance. the proper balance of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. The challenge for us comes in the fact that resting from labor, get this, folks, really requires an act of faith on our part. Because you'll be tempted to do that extra work so that you can earn that extra money or you can accomplish that extra task, whatever that case may be, at the expense of finding that rest that you desperately need. And what you're really doing when you're saying, I'm going to take that day and I'm going to rest, I'm not going to work and I'm not going to put forth effort into achieving the goals that I have for my life, I'm going to take rest, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm going to trust you to meet my needs, even though I'm resting. And that's an act of faith. And you have to demonstrate that faith in God if you're going to be a person who's going to grow in your spiritual life. So it's so important for our spiritual formation. Those of you who know the Bible, I'm sure you're familiar with what happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, where they didn't practice the Sabbath rest for hundreds of years. And it's all caught up with them, where they didn't rest the land and they didn't rest themselves. And so you know what God did to them at the towards the end of the Old Testament? He caused them to have a Sabbath rest. But all of the years that they missed doing the Sabbath rest all accumulated into one lump sum of Sabbath rest, which was 70 years. And we know that as the Babylonian captivity, where they were taken away from their land and they were kept in captivity and in bondage for 70 years to allow the land to rest and for them to get the message that they needed to have a Sabbath rest. You know, there's a lot of people who've lived their lives. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've lived your life, and you haven't been practicing a Sabbath rest, and you find yourself in some kind of bondage. It's a natural consequence that will happen in anybody's lives when they don't find that rhythm to life. God wants us to have that rhythm. The Sabbath rest also causes us to stop and to remember. In the Exodus passage, which we didn't read, he talks more about this, but notice what he says here in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. There are certain things that we are to remember because of the Sabbath day. And before we get to that one of redemption, let me talk about one other that's very natural. This rhythm of 6 and 1, does it remind you of anything else in the Bible? What else happened in 6 days and in one? God created all that is in how many days? 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. Do you think that God really had to rest? I mean, I hope not. If he's really God, I hope that he didn't have to rest. But he did it because he wanted to set an example and he wanted to set a pattern in all of the universe for us of how to live our lives. And when we are practicing 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, when you come into the house of God on Sundays, it ought to remind you that you serve a God who created all that is in just 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he did what you're doing, he rested. And it ought to remind you of the creation of God. Week in, I know you probably don't ever think of that, do you? Week in and week out, the 7 days in the week, God created everything in 7 days. He did all the work in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. That work week, the 7 day week period time that we have, reminds us that God is the creator, and that we ought to reflect and we ought to remember that. Oh, I think that if society had done this more so over the last couple of hundred years that we've been a nation here, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. If the nation really had hung on to that thought that we come to this day of Sunday as a day of rest and we're doing it to remember that God created it, if he rested, we ought to also rest. But notice also that verse that I just read a few moments ago from verse 15 talks to us about this idea of redemption. In the exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and that the Sabbath rest was to remind them of that event of redemption, that God, by his outstretched arm, brought them out of bondage and brought them into the promised land, and God delivered them. It's interesting when the Israelites would tell the story. If you were to go into a synagogue this Passover season, which I don't even know if we have synagogues here on the Eastern Shore, do we? I don't know. But anyways, some of my best friends have been Jewish, and I've learned a lot from some great Jewish rabbis. And it's interesting when you sit down and you talk with a Jewish rabbi and you ask him to tell you the what we call the Easter story, they call it the Passover story. we would tell it in the third person. We would say, well, when they were in bondage in Egypt and then God came to them and then brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land. But you know how a Jew tells that story? They tell it in the first person. When I was in bondage in Egypt, God came and did miraculous things and cursed the land there. And then by his strong arm, God brought me and brought my family out of that bondage and across the Red Sea and into the promised land, a land that was flowing with milk. They tell it in the first person, and that's how they tell it to their kids. And this story of redemption is something that needs to be personal for us, and that every Sabbath day for somebody who is a devout Jew would be a reminder to them of God's redemption for them out of Egypt into the promised land. And for you and I today, every Sabbath day, every day that we come in and practice the Sabbath when we come into the house of the Lord, ought to be a reminder to us that, yes, Lord, once I was in bondage to sin, but Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on a cross called Calvary and he shed his blood to forgive my sins. And that one day when I was just 5 years old, I bended the knee of my heart and I trusted Jesus Christ to come into my life and he saved me. And not only did he save me when I was just 5 years old, but he continues to save me. And I'm so thankful for that salvation that he does on an ongoing basis in my life, that he frees me from sin and the dysfunction of this world. And I look forward to that ultimate day. Every Sunday it ought to remind me of this, that every I'm reminded that there's an ultimate redemption that Jesus has for me, that someday when this body gives way and I leave this earth, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be ultimately redeemed and I'll be glorified and I'll be with Christ. The Sabbath ought to remind us of all of that. It's a reminder of God's creation and of God's redemption for us. Well, the Sabbath teaches us how to have a little bit of balance in this chaotic world that we live in, so relationships can be strengthened, so that you can live in a healthy rhythm to life, but so that you can also stop and remember. If you're going to be a person who's going to live the life you've always wanted, that's what we're doing right now, discovering how to live that life you've always wanted. One of the first things you're going to do, one of the first Christian disciplines you have to put in practice, if the rest of them are going to be effective in your life at all, is this idea of celebration and solitude, of practicing a Sabbath rest in your life and having that rhythm and that balance in your life. A number of years ago, I watched a television show on CNN about centenarians, people who had lived to be over 100 years old. Fascinating story. There was this one guy that I remember who was over 100 years old. He was still a lawyer. He lived, I believe, in Long Island. He took the Long Island express train into Manhattan every day, and he worked in the law office that he had been a partner of. He worked there for 3 or 4 hours every day, then rode the train back home. Over 100 years old, still working. I like this guy. And he was asked the question, why is it that he could live to be 100 years old, over 100 years old, and still be so productive? And he said this, well, when he was 56, he had a heart attack. He almost died. And it scared him so bad, his doctor said to him, you have to learn to deal with stress and have rest in your life if you're going to live. And so he listened to what his doctor, imagine that, somebody who listens to what their doctor tells him to do. He did what his doctor told him to do, and he ended up living over another 50 years and being productive in those 50 years. Then Sue and I had a guy in our church back in Canada. His name was Dr. Lee White. And we went to his 90th birthday party. I don't know if Lee's still alive or not. I wish I knew. I've lost touch with him. But on the occasion of his 90th birthday, this was a guy who, at 90 years old, well, I could tell you so much about him, but at 80 years old, he learned how to play the violin. And then at 85, he learned how to make violins. He just never stopped learning new things. And so on the occasion of his 90th birthday, well, I'll tell you this too. It was that winter, it had snowed a lot. And in Canada, it snows so much that you have to shovel the snow off your roof sometimes or the roofs will collapse. You've probably never had that here, but you've seen other places. I lived in a place like that. And so here he is, 90 years old. He's got a single-story dwelling that he lives in, he and his wife. He's up on the roof shoveling the snow off at 89 years old. I mean, this guy was active. Nevertheless, so it was his 90th birthday, and I said to him, Dr. White, can I just have a moment with you? And I just would really like to know, what's the secret? What do you think is the secret to you living to be 90 years old and being such a productive person and being so active and able, both mentally and physically? And he said this. He said, Andrew, it's simple. He said, I decided a long time ago to live for my old age in terms of what I eat and how I exercise and how I deal with stress in my life. And I thought, man, I want to do that. I want to plan my life while I'm young so that I can live to be old and still be productive in my old age. That's what I want to do. And so I've tried to do, I don't do it all as well as what Dr. White did, but I tried to do a lot of that. And I think a lot of what Dr. White had figured out that so many people don't have figured out is this idea of Sabbath rest. I invite you to make the decision to plan to be old. Plan to be old. And in that old age that you're asking God to give to you, will you do this? Will you say, Lord, I want to arrange my life in such a way that I'm making a meaningful place for you. I'm going to make a meaningful place for spiritual growth in my life. I want to put a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath rhythm into my life, and I'm willing to start doing that today. Father in heaven, we thank you for this old, old teaching that has such a relevant 2014 application for us. Lord, we live in a day and an age where life can be chaotic and can be so difficult and so hard. Father, help us to come to a place of having balance. And Lord, today for those that your Spirit is speaking to about living life out of balance, Lord, I pray that you will minister to them and speak to them and draw them to yourself. And Lord, help them to make that decision that they're going to do an act of faith and trust you with a Sabbath rest in their life. And Lord, as they do that, I pray that you'll bring untold blessings into their life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.